Whilst we have time, St. Paul says, let us work good to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of the faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may think you live in a world, a country, far removed from miracles, from the supernatural, from the saints, far away from these things in our daily life, as we are today in our work from the old ideal. You know that work could be elevating, honorable, memorable even, and certainly sanctifying, as well as satisfying, and satisfying the temporal punishment due to our sins. That work should be more than who can take advantage of whom, the employer over his employees, or the employees amongst themselves, one over the other. And certainly more than just a paycheck, the old days when it was a point of pride. You may well think that way, but I couldn't possibly agree with you. This is St. Joseph's weekend, Labor Day. Tomorrow we have his Mass. And in the Gospel today, our Lord works a miracle by reaching out and touching wood, as once he would the wood of the cross for our salvation. But today it's the wood of the bier, a burial stretcher. Now somebody, some carpenter or another, built that bier out of wood. Let me tell you today about a piece of woodwork made seemingly only yesterday, 1881, but a piece of such design and singular craftsmanship as to be considered a mystery and called a miracle still today, and attributed to the patron saint of woodworkers, the carpenter Saint Joseph. Remember, they called Jesus the carpenter's son. But the story starts with a priest who was educated and ordained in France, and who worked as a missionary here in Ohio. He was a pastor of a parish in Covington when he was chosen to be consecrated bishop and sent out to New Mexico under the great Pope Pius IX. The United States had just acquired that territory, and now it had to be won for Christ. How would that be done? The bishop, Jean-Baptiste Lamy, sent back word here. I have, he said, look, I have 6,000 Catholics and 300 Americans. What am I going to do? I've only got a handful of priests, and there are no nuns. Enough said. Kentucky answered first the call. And that was answered by the first sisterhood founded on American soil in 1812 by a Belgian priest. They were called the Friends of Mary at the foot of the cross. And their first convent was a log cabin. And every day at 3 o'clock, they would meet at the foot of the cross in the church to keep Mary company for the death of her only son. Well, they set out at that young bishop's appeal. I think he was 45. They set out, these courageous sisters, leaving the relatively civilized Commonwealth of Kentucky, for the old, what the Franciscans called, custody and kingdom of the holy faith. But they could only get there the hard way. It took them 3 months. and they had to cross the plains, which were then the jaws of death. There was cholera and other diseases. There were savage Indians, resentful and on the attack. Several nuns died in the crossing. One had to be sent back because of bad health. Only four of them finally made it after 3 months of travel. When they got to Santa Fe, they had to learn Spanish. They did, and they started a boarding school for girls. That's what was done. And in due time, things came along, and the bishop wanted a cathedral. Bishops do. And he brought over a wonderful architect from France. Antoine Mouly was his name. He and his son, Projectus, the two of them. The father designed the cathedral, but his eyes failed him. He went back home. The son stayed behind. And during a lull in the building, the nuns, seeing their opportunity, asked the young architect, he was only 17, to design them a chapel. The bishop wanted a chapel like the Sainte-Chapelle, the marvel of Gothic architecture in Paris that St. Louis, the king of France, had built to house the relics of the Crown of Thorns. It would be the first Gothic building west of the Mississippi, and so it was. Several of the nuns pooled together their family inheritances as a way of getting the project started. And everything went very well, except for one thing. This young man, so talented, was, as talented young men may be, a little bit temperamental, the architect was, Projectus. And he was very offended by some official or another, an inspector of some kind, who would inspect the building site right where the young architect was, supervising carefully the work, the workmen. And he would tell the architect, he would say, "You should be out here with the rest of these men hauling bricks. That's your job." And one day, having lost his Gallic temper, he said, "You say that to me one more time, and I'm out of here." He did, and he was. The chapel was almost finished. And after a few years, then it was dedicated by the priest in a solemn mass, but it was left unfinished in one very important detail. The choir loft had no stairs. Now, I've seen that in Mexican churches. Father Ciordia's church is that way. If you want to get up to the choir loft, you climb up a ladder. But that would hardly be fitting for nuns in habits. What to do? The mother, Mother Magdalene, consulted all of the carpenters of Santa Fe, and they would come out and they would look at the chapel, but they would see how tight the space was and how high the choir loft was, and they would say, "No se puede, madrecita, dear mother, it can't be done, because to build any kind of a stair would take up too much of the seating space for your chapel." But they were nuns. And nuns don't take no, whether it be from God or from man. So the nuns made a novena to Saint Joseph, whom they loved, and in whose honor they would go to Holy Communion every Wednesday. On the ninth day of the novena, an old man with a gray beard rides up on a donkey. Good stories always have a donkey in them. And he has his chest of tools with him, but just three tools in the chest, a hammer and a saw and a builder's T-square. He was a quiet man. He worked by himself. When the nuns came into the chapel for prayers, he would leave. Otherwise, he was set up in the back under the choir loft. It took him about 6 months. And when he completed the staircase, he vanished. The mother, Mother Magdalene, went to find him, to thank him and to pay him and to reimburse him for his supplies, but he was no place to be found. She inquired at the local Home Depot, and they knew nothing about ordering any wood or any money that was owed to them. The nuns found in their chapel a staircase that was a miracle. It was a masterpiece of beauty and of design, taking up such a small amount of space. The staircase, you know, makes two complete 360-degree turns, and it stands alone, as it were, without any central pole to support it, which was unheard of, that it should just hang there without support, although the transferred weight solely on the base of the staircase. This time, the carpenter used no nails, but hundreds of square wooden pegs put together with great craftsmanship and precision. There are precisely 33 steps, the same number of years in the life of our Lord. Each piece of wood, as required, is perfectly curved without necessarily being cut and pieced. And the whole, as I say, still stands today without support. It was daily used for a century. Some architects have argued that by the law of gravity, it should have crashed down to the ground the very first moment anyone stepped on this staircase. We had a pilgrimage out there about 3 years ago, and I climbed up the staircase very prayerfully after Mass. We really weren't supposed to. And in fact, I think I got into a little trouble. But I thought to myself, now's my chance. Besides, it was all over by then. I mean, the nuns were long gone after Vatican II, the new springtime. They closed their school and sold the chapel, and it's changed hands many times now, I think. It's owned by the Mormons, by the Marriott Corporation, and it's used as a tourist trap. They make a huge amount of money. And on weekends, it's used as a wedding chapel as well. But it still merits today a prayerful visit. There's a second miracle there, too, you know. And in a sense, it's more telling than the first, though more hidden. It's a miracle of wood, the same way we were redeemed. Someone cut off a little piece of wood from the top of the staircase and sent it out to California to a naval air weapons station. And a scientist there dedicated 18 months to the study of this wood. And finally, he concluded it matched no known kind of tree in any scientific record in the world. Its molecules, he said, were very dense and square, such as would indicate a spruce, but one grown in a very cold place. Certainly not New Mexico, more Alaska, but there would have been no way to get wood down from Alaska to New Mexico. Its origins remain a mystery. In the faith of mystery, in the face of it, the lively faith of the faithful of Santa Fe, remember it means city of the holy faith, was so strong that of course they gave Saint Joseph the credit. And doesn't he fit the description? A silent, highly skilled carpenter. Why should he not come to the place the Indians used to call the dancing grounds of the sun to complete a chapel for his wife, Our Lady of the Light? And didn't his spouse first come there in the first of her two known apparitions on American soil in the 17th century, right before the Indian Revolt of 1680, our Blessed Lady came to warn the people of a terrible punishment that would come to them in much death and suffering because of sin, as Our Lady would say the same words to us at Fatima, Our Lady of the Sun. It was only after this silent stranger was gone that he was recognized recognized by his work as Saint Joseph, the son of David. This carpenter, like his son, is also a king, the chaste spouse of Mary the Virgin, and the foster father of our Lord. This Labor Day weekend, as you resolve again with the new season to consecrate your work to God's glory, to work good to all men, but especially to the household of the faith, recognize quiet Saint Joseph as your patron saint and your intercessor, and ask for his help. Ask with great and with holy faith, but imitate Saint Joseph too. You know, he didn't just appear and snap his fingers and summon angels to do the job. No, just as at Nazareth, so too at America's Holy Land, New Mexico, there were months of hard labor, careful calculations, wood patiently soaked in water to make it bend, and little pegs for nails. Go to Saint Joseph. Go to him for inspiration in your work, as well as for assistance in getting the work done. What a story! And in modern times, and in one of our own states, of our own country, a young architect walks away. The sisters, though, remembered to pray. In walked Saint Joseph one day in his lady's chapel of the light to stay till the staircase to heaven rose in Santa Fe. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.